Inside Scoop Live. Hi, I'm Irene Watson, and I'm your host for today. I'm sitting in for our regular host, Juanita Watson. I am so delighted to be speaking on the phone with Hermie Frank, author of How to Marry and Keep a Supermodel, Lessons from a Midwife Crisis. So stay tuned, because today we are going to get into the emotional aspects of a man that had to make a decision of what to do when his wife fell in love with another man. Pretty deep. Is he to dump her, or is he to start a campaign to win her back? But first, a little about Herman Frank. Herman is an attorney at law, Frank Associates, attorneys at law at Sacramento, California. He specializes in trials and appeals of civil disputes, including business cases, real estate disputes, civil rights disputes, and family law cases. He is a graduate of Georgetown University Law Center, where he received his Juris Doctor in 1985. He also received a Master of Arts in Economics from Georgetown University in 1985. He is a graduate of UC Berkeley, where he received a BA with honors in political economy, and that was in 1981. He owns his own book publishing company, Kit Media Company. He has written 20 books, all in the field of legal thrillers, international criminal adventure stories, and several juvenile stories. Hi, Herman.
Hi there.
Well, I'm really happy to have you online talking to us about this book. It's something that is certainly relevant in our society right now, and what better than to talk about it and talk to our listeners and give them information from your perspective. So, first of all, let's go to the title, How to Marry and Keep a Supermodel, Lessons from a Midwife Crisis. Give us a little bit of backstory on this.
The first thing is that there's a situation that can arise within a marriage. A woman turns 40-something. In my case, I was 50-something. And a woman goes through something called a midlife crisis. So just like a man can, I just coined a little word there called midwife crisis. It simply means when a woman does it. Just as a man can go through that, so can a woman. And my concept there is when you see your wife as a supermodel, and I should say that my wife actually was not a supermodel, but my thesis on that is men who really are into their wives may see them as such. And the question is, how do you keep them? How do you get them back? When they take off, fall in love with a new guy, how do you get them back? And that's kind of what my story is about, what I did when my wife fell in love with a new guy and my effort to win her back.
So this is actually a novel, but it is based on some of your own experience. Is this correct?
Yes. I did something I like to do where I will take a real event. I will change it for dramatic purposes. So there's a lot of it that is made up, but there's also a lot of it that is not made up. I might add it would be rather difficult to write such a story without having gone through it yourself.
And so give us a little bit of information. What did you actually go through on a personal level when your wife chose to have a romance elsewhere?
I first, you know, there's a saying, you know, the man is the last to know, and that was definitely the case. There are so many people knew about it, and I did not. I found out in a rather sad way at my 50th birthday party. She brought him to my party, which was kind of an odd experience for me. And then the following night, she was out with him until very late in the evening. And when she got home, that's when I kind of confronted her. And so it was, you know, it was very devastating for me. I had no idea that that was going on. And when I found out about it, of course, it had been going on for some time. You know, I don't know exactly how, but I want to say like 2 or 3 months. And it was a devastating situation for me. I did not want to lose her. And the first thing I was trying to do was understand, you know, why is this happening? What's going on here? And part of what I learned, which was kind of in the rude awakening category, was there was like a million things that she was very unhappy with me about. And she had a list and just, you know, laid it all out. I don't like this. I don't like that. And it was a very insulting list. It was not a list I wanted to hear, but I heard it. I might add, I heard it many times. So I started to try to grapple and deal with all of the issues that she had expressed that she had about me. That was probably my first kind of process with it.
So what I'm hearing is that you just got right into it, and you actually owned some of the things that she had said, and you were ready to start making the changes, because obviously you wanted to stay in this relationship.
Yeah, I think the first thing is you choose that. Do you, and that's why, you know, there's kind of two roads to go. Do you just say, forget it, we're done, throw in the towel, file the divorce papers, you know, another one bites the dust? Or do you look into the issues, look into yourself, and try to fix it all? Now, with me, I will say that the decision was very simple to make because I did see my wife as a supermodel. I was deeply in love with her. We have kids. We have a house. We own a business. We have a lot of connections besides just ourselves. And there was no way I wanted to terminate, split all that up, make a big mess about it. I should also point out I'm a lawyer. That's my day job, and I do divorce law. So I know how ugly, you know, it can be. But the fundamental truth that I knew that made my decision extremely simple was that I was very much in love with her, and I very much did not want to lose her. So what I did was listen, acknowledge, okay, I hear you, I see what you're saying, and I will try to do something about that. That's kind of the process I went through initially.
And that's, I really commend you for doing that, because that's not easy to do. The first thing, of course, when that initial rude awakening, as you said, had happened, I'm sure that some anger came up.
I was very upset.
I'm sure.
Yeah,
I'm sure.
And devastated, upset, angry, all of the above. Mm-hmm. And, you know, this is the irony. At a time when what you really want to do is lash out, you know, and scream and shout and, you know, how could you, and punish, what you really should be doing just the opposite, which is, how did this happen? Why did it happen? My theory is that these things don't just happen in a vacuum. A wife doesn't just leave her husband for another man. If she's happy in the marriage, she's not going to do that. So there was obviously points of unhappiness and issues that needed to be dealt with. And a lot of what she was saying were in the category of old issues that she had expressed before that I just didn't really ever solve or grapple with. And now it was kind of a wake-up call, you know, you didn't fix it. I told you about this. You didn't fix it, so we're done. I got a new guy. It was that kind of thing.
So, Herman, how did you go about processing? I mean, obviously she had a list of things you had said. It's not only one thing that just made her dissatisfied in the relationship. And so what was your process? Did you do, like, address one issue at a time? How did you do this? What worked for you?
First of all, the issues were very clear to me, partly because they were said many, many times. My wife has a way of just saying it over and over again. So it's not a question of, I don't quite understand what you're saying. I totally got it. And my first thing was to tell her, okay, I agree with you, and acknowledge it. I think that was probably the first thing. So if you've got, let's say there's, you know, I exaggerate. I say there was 1,000 issues, but let's say there were 10 major ones. Just to give a specific on it, one of them was she feels that I'm very, I'm an asshole, just to put it like that. Now, I'm a lawyer by day job. I'm a litigator, and I spend my day kind of being an asshole. And it's always a problem, you know, when you come home, you got to turn that off. Mm-hmm. And I'm not always so good at bridging work home. Now, on top of that, just so you know, my wife works at the office, so we work together. She's my office manager. And she just, there's a lot of parts of my personality, the way I deal with issues, that she just doesn't like and wants me to be like this nice, sweet guy. And so I'm searching for the nice, sweet guy in me. It's somewhere in there. So part of it was just that. Let's try to be a nicer guy, you know, and, you know, try to respond to that. Another issue was there was a physical attraction issue. I you'll see our picture on the cover of the book. I would, you know, consider myself at least an averagely good-looking guy. She found me to be unattractive, and I don't know, you know, exactly how all that happened, because obviously she was initially attracted to me, or she probably would not have married me. One of her complaints was that I became overweight, which was true. So I did something about that. I joined a gym and started working out and losing weight and, you know, just trying to look better. This is simple. Look better, act better. And I just saw that as something I needed to do. So I took it to heart, realized that was the issue. And, you know, typical male thinking, there's a problem, find a solution, act out the solution.
And fix it.
Yeah, it's just like, let's fix it.
Males are fixers, that's right. So obviously.
Yeah, you know, I believe in, you know, I'm like a male like that. If I see a problem, I try to fix it. I deal with problems all day as a lawyer, and I'm always looking for the fix.
Yeah.
So that's kind of that was my process. Let's find out the issue, let's come up with a plan, and let's enact the plan.
How long was this into your relationship or in marriage that this started happening?
Year 11.
11, okay. Do you think that that's significant? Do you think that, you know, after 10 years it just gets you same old, same old? Or is it really, you know, all these issues? What do you think really happened?
I think part of it has to do, I've read some stuff about this,
mm-hmm.
and here's what I've read, that when a woman is getting in the late 30s, 40 age range, there is a biological process they go through where they begin to produce more male hormones. That creates a kind of sexual precociousness and aggressiveness very similar to how men can be, where they're on a hunt. And one of the articles I read, I forgot who wrote it, but it was like this. The good news is your wife wants to have sexual relations. The bad news is not with you. So they can be more of a huntress and with this new kind of hormone in her. So I'm not sure if it's a function of how many years of the marriage as much as her age.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we've heard that phrase, the 7-year itch.
Yeah.
And this did not, we got by that. I was a little bit nervous at that point. And it didn't happen then. And that's because, you know, she was more like 36 or so at that point in her life.
Sure.
So the other thing is, a lot of it can be described as, well, you know, I didn't plan on meeting the guy. The guy just kind of came out of nowhere and I met him. But there's a theory that, you know, if you're ready for that and you want that and you've got that going on inside of you, you know, if you don't, the chance meeting that just happened to have happened could easily happen elsewhere, another day, another Wednesday or whatever. It, you know, the odds of that happening, you know, are, you know, it can happen. Opportunities abound out there.
Oh, of course. One thing that you had mentioned a little earlier, Ermin, was you made a comment that you were last to know. Now, obviously, friends, family, possibly other people knew about it. So what prevented them from telling you?
You know, I don't know, because they were my friends, too.
Yeah.
And I was a little, it was kind of like, I don't know, it was definitely kept down. And part of what happened was, she would go out on dates, you know, a group date with some of her friends, and it would be kind of like, hey, look at the new guy. And these were people I knew.
Uh-huh.
And so I guess they kind of saw it as something not to share with me. Obviously they could have, but they didn't.
That's interesting, isn't it?
Yeah, it was something that kind of a woman camaraderie thing, you know, these are girlfriends of hers that probably figured, you know, let's let her do what she's doing kind of thing. You know, I don't know. It was kind of odd like that, yes.
I don't know either. I just often wonder why, you know, the person, the victim, I would say, or, you know, whatever we want to call it, it's sort of the same old thing that's always being said. I was the last to know. I had no idea.
You know, when I want to give you another example of this. When I learned, I went to my office, and they all knew.
Ah, there you go.
Yeah, and I was like, you know, well, thanks for telling me, you know. And Their statement was, we did not think it was our place to tell you. Now, mind you, these are employees of mine.
Yeah.
So I told them, well, next time that happens, tell me.
It is their place, exactly.
Yeah, let me know. That's something I would like to know about.
Yeah.
They were actually kind of relieved when they learned that I did know.
I bet, because the pressure was off.
Right. It was like, oh, boy, it's like a big balloon finally burst.
I can well imagine. So obviously you were deeply in love with your wife, and you were not about to let her go. And what kind of changes did she have to make to accept you for who you are, to see the changes that you're making, and to actually let go of that relationship that she was in and come back into the relationship with you?
Well, I'll tell you, my book is largely a story about what I did, and I might add, everything I did not work.
Uh-huh.
The whole litany of, okay, make yourself more presentable, make yourself nicer. There was also a success/failure issue where she saw the new guy as a very successful, rich guy who made money young. You know, unfortunately, lawyers, everyone thinks we're rich, and we're just not, and it's forever and a year to make any money on it. It's a slow way to money, and it's middle class generally. Now, there's always a couple of tycoons out there you'll read about, but, you know, it's not a big bucks thing, and it's a very middle class thing, and this guy had a much bigger house, better house, shinier car, nicer everything, and he was a younger guy. And it was like, look, and without any kind of big education either. He didn't go to college, and she's like, God, I went to Georgetown Law, I went to Berkeley undergrad, I have a master's in econ, and she's like, you know, you've got all these heavy-duty degrees, this guy didn't even go to college, and he has, like, 10 times what you have. So part of my attempt was also to do things to make more money. I mean, as shallow as this may sound, I tried to respond to that. And unfortunately, I had a couple things that were almost working and almost making like a ton of dough, and they didn't work out. I was like, oh, no. It was like, there goes my great opportunity, you know, to win her back. I did the nice thing, you know, hi, honey, how are you, you know, and trying to be more, I guess, supportive of her in that way. The problem was, you know, when you're in love with another man, you don't want the attention anymore from your husband. It's like too little, too late kind of thing. She did not want me to follow her around the house. She used to tell me, would you, you know, go do something. Don't be so attentive. And she actually told me flat out, your focus on me now is not helping you. It's hurting you. So you need to, one of the things I learned is you really need to kind of back off. I will tell you right now, this is part of the story in my book, is she did not come around until I gave up.
I am so glad you said that. I am so glad you said that, because that, I think, is the catalyst of all relationships like this, isn't it? Until you decide that you're going to just give up, start from square one, realize that you are good enough and you are okay, all of a sudden, there's a shift, isn't there?
Well, yeah. I finally just threw in the towel, you know. And she, you know, we had these sessions where, you know, I'd be up at 3 o'clock in the morning, and she'd just be screaming at me, and I would just be like, I just finally figured it out. This woman hates me. You know, she doesn't love me. She can't stand me. There's a million things she doesn't like about me. One of the things I learned also is the new affair creates like this chemical reaction in your brain. It's like a drug addiction. He could do no wrong, okay? And anything I did was just, you're stupid, you're poor, you're fat, you're ugly, you're a loser, you know, on and on and on like that. So I finally just said, you know what? I get it. I lost you. You know, I see that. And it's irretrievable. And I'm very sad about it, but I totally get it. So I then started dating, is what happened.
Did you?
I did indeed.
All right.
One of the things, and I described this process in my book, I met this really beautiful woman that I have a thing for Chinese girls. Don't ask me why. I don't know. But I'm a white guy. I don't know. There's something about the Chinese thing that gets me excited. So for better or worse, that's my thing. So anyway, I meet a new Chinese gal, and I'm not interested in some young girl. I want an age-appropriate woman. She was 40. Uh-huh. I'm 51 now, but at this time I was 50. And we date several times, and she was lovely. She's got a great body, lovely face, lovely personality. And it was so refreshing because she totally liked me. She just thought, God, you're such a good guy. And, you know, you're a lawyer and you're handsome and you do all these things and you're a book writer. All these things that my wife just thought was, you know, law doesn't make any big money. Your book writing, so what? You know, we had a conflict issue about my books, interestingly enough. This book I wrote is book number 21 for me. Uh-huh. And, you know, it just bothers her that I spend so much time on books. So whatever, that's a kind of a problem that we've had. So this other woman, just, I thought it was all great. She was totally hot for me. And it was such a strange comparison to have a new girl really like, you're a great guy, and then have your wife go on and on endlessly about it. You're a piece of garbage. One of the chapter titles of my book is One Woman's Trash is Another Woman's Jewel. And isn't that the truth?
Yeah.
Well, when she, one day, and I was to the point where I was moving out, I got a place, and I was going to move in with this girl. I really liked her. And she intercepted a text message from the girl to me. She found my phone, and I was asleep. And the message said, I love you, I miss you, I want to kiss you. And then there was a second message with an address where she wanted me to come and meet her. And you can imagine my wife seeing that. She just went ballistic. So that is the catalyst that finally brought her to coming around. I think absent that, I don't know that it would have ever happened.
Interesting.
And unfortunately, and I realize this is probably really bad advice, but one of my advices to men who are going through this is, number one, it will end. Because I know several cases of this where the woman is done with the affair and comes back to the husband.
Uh-huh.
And unfortunately, it's often too late because the husband has moved on. And really didn't want to move on. You know, would have preferred to be with the wife. But it was like, okay, I get it. You don't like me. You got a new guy. I'm done. And the reality for, you know, just for the wives out there that want to do this, here's one thing I learned. There is a huge, and I mean triple huge, secondary market of women in their, let's say, late 30s, early 40s and beyond who are totally on the hunt for a new guy.
Mm-hmm.
Completely available and aggressively available. I mean, this woman, you know, she was like after me. And it's not like in high school or college where the man has to be the total pursuer and the woman plays coy and he goes and goes and goes and mainly finally gets her phone number, finally gets a date. This is more like, hi, she's calling me. You know, we men, we will connect. There will be a new woman for us. And that woman will sweep us away just like it can happen. And that's the catalyst that brings the woman back. That's what happened with me. After she saw the text message, she called the woman up and had this really interesting discussion and, you know, asked the woman, you love my husband? She said, yeah. You want to marry him? Yeah. When are you going to do that? As soon as he divorces you. And that created a whole stir, and then she had a big discussion with me and promised me, I'll get rid of the guy. I don't want to lose you. I want to stay with you. I'll get rid of him.
And we'll be back with more Inside Scoop Live after these important announcements.
Inside Scoop Live is a global internet-based broadcast specializing in interviewing published authors about their current books and areas of expertise. I'm Juanita Watson, the host of the show, and invite you to join me as I bring to the air both well-known and upcoming writers. You will hear my guests talk candidly about their books, their life experience, specific topics, and the business of being an author in today's literary world. Always interesting and current, my intention is to bring our audience high-quality discussions that spotlight a vast diversity of authors in the field today. Our interviews are syndicated and archived for availability 24/7 through direct podcast and MP3 download. And as always, I love to hear from listeners. Have a look at our website, InsideScoopLive.com. Send me an email, comment on previous guests, and let me know who you'd like to hear on the show. I'll do my best to bring you your favorite authors live and direct.
Welcome back to Inside Scoop Live. We are speaking today with Herman Frank. As you have heard so far, Herman is open to talk about his own life and the trials and tribulations he went through when his wife fell in love with another man. It's not an easy topic to talk about, especially when there is emotional pain involved. So did you trust her at that point?
No. Absolutely not. What I knew is that love is like an addiction. And I know, I appreciate you've written in the area of addiction issues, so I know this is something you know about, but I really believe it. Love produces a chemical in your brain. You become addicted to it, and you cannot let it go. I let her know, I appreciate that you want to stop it. I just don't think you can.
And so where did that make that turnaround? Where did you finally get it that you actually can trust her? What happened?
I don't think I ever got that.
So you're still on
the edge? We just kind of went forward. I mean, the trust issue, I mean, how do you get over that? You know, I don't know. I'm still not over it.
So why did you decide to actually create that relationship again with your wife, start, I guess, at a point, another point, rather than just saying, okay, I'm out of here?
This is going to sound really stupid, but I'm hopelessly in love with her.
That's wonderful. That is. And I would assume that she feels the same way for you, too.
That is a huge question I have, because one of the things that really upset me and made me feel so bad, there was a second crisis after that, after she got the email, and we kind of sort of came back together. There was a second crisis where I, one day, found she left her emails open, and I read a series of emails. You know how when you send emails and you keep replying, you have like a whole chain of them?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So I was able to read all, like, you know, one email was like 30 emails.
Mm-hmm.
And what I read in there was so disturbing. It was between her and her lover. What it exhibited to me was a deep love for him that was like 1,000 times more than what she had for me. And it was so clear to me that I was a second choice. I would really, really rather have this guy, but I'm stuck with my husband. So one of the things I did, after I actually terminated the relationship, I shouldn't use that word, but that's what I did. I terminated the relationship with the new girl.
Uh-huh.
When later I saw all these emails, and I was so disturbed by it, I mean, they were talking about having a baby. They were talking about how she's going to get rid of me. How she loves him. She was talking about, they were talking about all kinds of sex stuff. That was, you know, it's nothing worse than reading emails about a man talking about how much he loves seeing your wife's naked body and stuff like that, you know. Very disturbing stuff, you know. And I just, all of a sudden, after I saw that, I withdrew from my wife, and I went back out on the kind of dating thing. And I found another very beautiful Asian woman aggressively pursuing me as well. And she then found out about that one. And this is when we had, it was like the second crisis when we really had kind of this, like, you know, what you might call a come to Jesus discussion.
Mm-hmm.
When I told her, you know what, it's not enough that you're just, that you dumped him and you're back with me. I need you, I this is going to sound really stupid, but I need you to want me how you wanted him. And you're just not there. And I don't think you'll ever be there. And that's, there's nothing you can do. I mean, how can you negotiate love? You know, and it's not a question of, just say yes and I'll be there. It's like, it's an emotion that just isn't there.
So you had mentioned that you're hopelessly in love with your wife. What is hopelessly in love look like to you?
Well, it's where, You just, thank you for that question, because I'll try to be a little bit better on it. But it's a concept where you're really, and it's probably almost a psychosis where you just want someone so badly that no matter what they do to you, you're going to still want them. And it can be obviously a very negative thing. I know a lot of the people I know were like, God, Herman, why don't you just get yourself out of this thing, you know? And I mean, this is not good for Herman, you know, to be in a relationship where, I mean, just be like a woman who sticks with a guy who beats her, let's say, you know, it's like all her friends will be coaching her to get out of that relationship, you know, run, don't walk kind of thing. But I don't know what it was about her. I remember I had shared this with one of my friends, one of my dear friends, and I said, part of me, this will kind of sound stupid too, but part of me wants to win. It's like this guy is stealing my wife away from me. He also, in his emails, was talking about how I really like your sons. I have two really lovely boys, and they're young. They're like 9 and 7. He wanted them. He didn't have any kids. So it's like, I want you. I want the kids. I want everything. And he's just going to like steal them away from me.
Wow.
It was really a very odd concept. Now, my boys absolutely hated the guy. Thought he was a piece of garbage. He wears mousse in his hair. He has a gold chain. He has a gold Rolex. He has a $100,000 Mercedes. And he's a total meathead. He has a Facebook page where it says, my favorite book, and he put People Magazine. Gotta love it. So they were just like, oh, please, this is not going to be our new dad. And there was no way, the good news was, there was no way they were ever going to be with that guy. So that was really kind of cool to know. But I don't know, somehow I have a theory where I describe it. I'm stuck on her.
Well, you know, there's just, love has so many different definitions, and each one of us has their own concept of it. That is for sure. You mentioned you have children. Now, how aware were they of what was going on during the time that your wife was having the affair?
They knew because they had to listen, unfortunately, 2 rooms down the hallway to my wife screaming at me endlessly about it. Mm-hmm. So they did know. And they also knew because I moved out.
And how did this affect them?
Deeply and tragically. Yeah. And they were so, they used to be crying and, you know, we want you guys to stay together. If I would leave, they would get so upset. Mm-hmm. It's a terrible thing. The other thing that's very sad is they would hear us argue all the time. And it's made them argumentative. They're always in arguments. They argue with us. They argue with their teachers. Mm-hmm. The teachers are constantly getting distressed. Like my son, Adam, he argues with her about stuff all the time. And they blame, there's a blame issue that, you know, if you guys didn't have this crappy marriage and weren't fighting in front of your sons, you know, this wouldn't happen. My son got into an argument with his kung fu. He's quite a kung fu guy. Mm-hmm. And the sufu is what they call the master in Chinese. She kicked him out of the class because he was argumentative with her. She's, you know, they're mm-hmm. they're like strict sort of communist style Chinese. The master speaks, the student follows.
Right.
Well, he was arguing with her. And her idea was, you know, and she was a friend of ours and was well aware of the whole breakdown in our marriage issue, and her opinion was, you guys are so screwed up, and now it's screwing up your kids, which I think is true.
So are things different now in your family with the kids? Are they getting more secure and realize
I hope so.
That was the passing thing that happened?
I hope so. Yeah. We're a work in progress.
Well, aren't we all?
Yeah, we are a work in progress. And now let me tell you another amazing dynamic that happened in this thing. In the middle of the girl, my girlfriend, coming forward with, I love you, I miss you, I want to come and kiss you, that text message, the whole catharsis of us coming back together, out of nowhere, we get a communication from her first husband in Italy. She has a 17-year-old daughter. She was then 16 with him. He's had custody of the child ever since, you know, she was, well, she left when she was five. She left to come marry me. And all of a sudden, there's an issue that I still don't quite understand. I need to hand off custody of our daughter to you. Can you come and pick her up? So the family dynamics were right in the middle of this whole thing. We all of a sudden get a 16-year-old daughter from Italy that comes and lives with us.
Wow.
Now, my wife's, she's Chinese, but she speaks fluent Italian.
Uh-huh.
The daughter, who's just the loveliest thing you can imagine, she's a knockout. She is also a supermodel. and it's like, oh, my God. When I saw her, and it was there was a whole other family dynamic with that. But one of the dynamics was my wife had been deeply hurt because there was an estrangement between her and her daughter. And she tried to ignore it, but that's hard to ignore. There was little communication between them. Finally, she was coming around, and I remember her telling me, someday she will come to me.
Mm-hmm.
And there was this whole event where we brought our son, Adam, my oldest son, to Italy to go kind of meet with her on a diplomatic mission to convince the daughter to come live with us because she did not want to go. And we convinced her. She arrived in August, and she's been with us since, and it's just been great. In fact, this week we had her green card interview.
Oh, good.
So it's all going good. She actually was in a Miss Asia Sacramento beauty pageant and got second place.
Wow, that's great.
So that created a new dynamic where my wife definitely wanted a solid home.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the last thing you want is your long-lost daughter to arrive, and the first thing you got to tell her is, I'm getting a divorce, we're selling the house, we're moving into an apartment.
Mm-hmm.
So that was another dynamic that happened. It's just kind of like, oh, God, I mean, what a stressor, you know.
Oh, I can well imagine.
You know, that actually created an interesting medical reaction for my youngest son.
Oh.
He got a condition where his hair started falling out.
Yeah. From the stress.
Yeah, it was like, oh, my God. I mean, so these things have all these kind of downstream ripple effects, which it's crazy, but it's, you know, I mean, who would think you have an affair, you create a big drama, and your son's hair falls out?
Yeah, it's all so connected.
You know, it's like, oh, my God, you know.
The thing is, those are imprints that are going to stay in that child's mind forever until he is able to deal with that.
You know, when we took him to the doctor, it was a dermatologist, and the doctor said, well, he was asking him, the son, and this is this little kid, he's so cute, and he's just lovely as can be. He's seven. Have there been any, like, stressful situations in your life? Oh, my God, he was like a water faucet.
I bet.
It just came out, and we were like, oh, my God.
Yeah.
I mean, the kids take it in like a sponge.
We have no idea.
It's scary, and...
Yeah.
So we've been working on that. We totally are with that. And, you know, we're trying to show them now togetherness, family togetherness. It's safe. It's secure. Daddy's not going to go anywhere. Don't worry, you know.
Safety and security is so important, and I'm glad to hear that that is the direction you are going into. So before we close, this has been such an interesting conversation, and but what I want to do is have you share with our listeners some lessons. What are some lessons that actually you learned that you'd like to share, and that also they can, by reading your book, see them there too?
I think the number one lesson I have for men who, when their wives go through this, make the initial decision, I want to win her back, is number one, she's going to come back. You just got to wait and make yourself better. Do whatever you can. Make yourself look better. Buy new clothes. Work out. Lose weight. Get a haircut. Buy a new belt. And, you know, look attractive. Be as nice as you can. I mean, the hardest thing is to be nice to somebody who's betrayed you and who's completely upset you. And here I'm saying, be nice to her.
Yeah.
And I really believe this. Unfortunately, the only way you're really going to survive it is get a new girl. And I don't think I would have survived it without the new woman. I felt so bad and so crummy. The new woman mm-hmm. is going to give you self-confidence, is going to give you a whole new kind of premise. Now, the danger with that is you may end up just going with the new woman and the wife is out of the picture altogether. That very well could happen. But I want to say that in every case I know, and I know about 10 of these, mm-hmm. where the woman has done this, she got done with the guy and she came back. Now, let me also tell you one legal thing that I did. And this works, and I want to tell you, it costs $300. Do it. Find out the guy's name, hire a private eye, do a whole background check. The guy that was in question on my life, who took my wife, he had a felony. Uh-huh. He had another wife. He just had a baby through that wife. None of these things were known by my wife. He had the wife number two for him was the affair on wife number one. He had been fired for stealing money and writing a fraudulent check. There was a law case about that. I found all this stuff out, had a nice background report done by this private eye, and gave it to my wife. When she read that, this guy also lied about his age. He told her she was 30. He was 34. I thought only women lied about their age. He was 39. Give me a break. Also, he was not rich. His wife worked two jobs as a nurse and was supporting them. All this information came out because I hired a private eye. When I showed my wife that report, she was so disgusted with the guy. It finally started her own emotional turning down and realizing that this guy was a piece of garbage and that her husband was really a good guy and came back to her husband. There you go.
Are you happy?
I am happy to have my wife back. I'm happy to have my family. More than anything in the world, that's what I want.
And what a great place to just end this. But before we do, what is your website address where they can readers and listeners can find out more information about your book and about you?
Midwifecrisis.com.
Midwife, not life, but wife with a W. Midwifecrisis.com.
And there's a dash in there between mm-hmm. wife and crisis.
Good.
Midwifecrisis.com. And, you know, I'm trying to, you know, collect up men who have been through this to get their stories and to share, even if it's anonymously, because I realize a lot of men might not want to give their names out about it, toward the overall goal of guiding men to win their wife back and keep their families together. Divorce is awful, and it's so much better if you can keep it all together.
Those are such good points. Thank you so much, Herman. Take this time and just talk to us. You know, just really delve into a lot of your own personal stuff, as I would call it, and be there exposed. And, gosh, listeners, the name of the book is How to Marry and Keep a Supermodel, Lessons from a Midwife Crisis. It's a fantastic book, and I just really encourage you to look at it, read it. And, you know, possibly this could be something that could be a turning point for yourself, too. Again, thanks a lot, Herman. I really appreciate you coming online and talking to us today.
Thank you.
Listeners, this has been an important topic. I hope you enjoyed listening to Herman as he gave us so many areas to consider. It's not often we get to talk to a man that is really willing to share his experience that he has had. You know, and I'm really, really inspired knowing that true love really does exist in the hearts of man, and there is a way of mending the brokenness that happens. I encourage you to reflect on your own life and consider reading Herman's book, How to Marry and Keep a Supermodel. You know, although the story is considered fictional, it's only for dramatization. Much of what Herman talks about is really his own life story. Again, Herman, thank you so much for taking the time to spend with us and giving us a glimpse into your book and encouraging us to deal with that midlife crisis in a healthy and rewarding way. I'm your host, Irene Watson. Thank you very much for listening. Bye for now.